Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I mean, if things are going to keep happening this quickly and in this wide of a range, I definitely feel like a caged animal doing a one-hour radio show. But we'll do what we can to get all this stuff in. It's these are difficult days in America, difficult days in the history of our nation, difficult days in our relationship with the rest of the world, and increasingly dangerous days. I don't know if you get a sense that things are a little closer to the edge than we had hoped to imagine, but it certainly seems that way. So today we'll work through as much as we can, and let's make sure, and I need to work on this myself, that we don't shoot first and ask questions later. So you see this with the unveiling, if you will, of the new healthcare bill. Donald Trump this morning, about 8 hours ago, on Twitter, our wonderful new healthcare bill is now out for review and negotiation. Obamacare is a complete and total disaster, is imploding fast. And so that was the president's opening salvo on Twitter this morning. And it makes it sound like our wonderful health care bill, well, based on most of the things that I've been reading and listening to since last night, that's not an opinion that's shared by many people at all, especially the more conservative members of the Republicans in the Congress. And I'm wondering if any Republicans are actually small government constitutional people at all anymore. I mean, who is it? Mike Lee from Utah and Ted Cruz from Texas. Anybody else in the Senate? Are there any real conservatives? Rand Paul. Thank God for Rand Paul. Thank you, Lord, as a libertarian. But he's actually one of the most intelligent people in all of Congress and actually thinks logically and is, as far as I can tell for these years, divorced himself from all the political wrangling, the insider game, which is what this looks like from what I can read and what I've learned, looks definitely like Obama light. And so, you know, let's give Trump a little bit of wiggle room here. He's the consummate negotiator. So he said that in this tweet this morning, our wonderful new healthcare bill. I'm like, wonderful. Okay, whatever. Is now out for review and negotiation, and negotiation there will definitely be. So I got a bunch of stuff there about that, and especially what the conservatives are saying, some 5 points here. The worst parts of it by Ben Shapiro over at Daily Wire. I got a great statement from Senator Mike Lee, who I mentioned. Senators Meadows and Senator Rand Paul and their open statement about it, which isn't very pretty. So certainly not agreeing with the seemingly upbeat opinion of our president, but we'll get through that. The WikiLeaks dump, another one. This is massive. 8,761 documents and files released as Vault 7 Part 1, entitled Year Zero, all about CIA and all the different ways the CIA can, you know, maybe you're watching me right now on Facebook, or you're listening on the radio, you're listening online, you're listening on your iPhone, your Android, whatever. And the more you read about what's coming out from the CIA, they could be listening to you right now. They could be watching you right now on your, like, I'm looking at my MacBook right now, right? Because I've got the Facebook Live page up. So facebook.com/C2A radio, the website C2AToday.com. And my camera doesn't appear to be on my MacBook Air, my MacBook desktop computer, whatever you call this thing. And I'm using my iPhone to film for Facebook Live, but on my MacBook Air, my MacBook, the light isn't on, so it doesn't look like my camera's on, but it very well could be. And the microphone. And you think, well, I don't have the microphone app open. I'm not using my microphone. Well, apparently, the CIA could do that anyway. So that's a very serious issue, which goes into Donald Trump's claims on Saturday, his leveling a massive claim, because if Obama actually did have anything to do, and again, this is a process, and we all need to, and I fall prey to this as well, to slow down. We shoot first and ask questions second. And where there's some wiretapping things, where the in the FISA court, the first one got denied, the second one is approved because of the alleged or possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia and all that kind of stuff. And then there's so I don't think there's any question at this point that there was some wiretapping going on in Trump Tower. But was it of Donald Trump himself? Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't know that yet. You can piece together a bunch of pieces of what looks to be pretty strong evidence. Mark Levin's been doing this all weekend and into the new week and all kinds of other people. So it looks condemning, but we don't have enough facts yet. And so that's going on. And with the CIA's capabilities, and remember, I was like on January 10th or something, just days before the inauguration, that President Obama with Loretta Lynch expanded from the NSA, added to it 16 total organizations, intelligence organizations inside the executive branch that all of a sudden could get access to information that was gleaned from things like these FISA wiretaps. So you go from one or two or three organizations within the executive branch to 16. And now you're multiplying by five or six times how many people are seeing this information and thereby multiplying the opportunity for leaks to come out. And if you got a bunch of bureaucrats in there that are pro-Obama and anti-Trump, well, you know where that goes. So that's going on right now. And then you have the second executive order, which Trump just signed. We'll take a look at that. Iran launched two ballistic missiles. South Korea launched four ballistic missiles. These are serious, serious days. And then Trump came out in the midst of all this. With this deal, because that's what he is, right? The art of the deal. A deal he tried to cut with Planned Parenthood. I don't think you dance with the devil. You destroy the devil. But we'll talk about that to provide the funding. They provide the funding. Say, hey, we'll fund Planned Parenthood if you stop doing abortions. Well, first of all, Mr. President, you don't make that decision on funding. That comes out of Congress. You can then sign the bill, so he is part of the process. But, you know, the way he communicates makes it sound like he's cutting that deal. That would be Congress. If they even have the stinking backbone to do that. So I've got an article here. If there is a bill to fund Planned Parenthood, these GOP senators will oppose it. So two women, how disgraceful. In the GOP, two quote-unquote Republicans in the Senate would actually vote against a defunding of Planned Parenthood. Unbelievable. And some people ask me, why did I switch to unaffiliated a couple years ago here in North Carolina? This is why, because I choose not to associate myself officially with the Republican Party, because most of them are just big government progressives, just like the liberal side. Government this, government that, government all the way. Sorry, that was never the way this was designed to be, but that's where we are. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll fly through all this stuff when we come back. Lord, thanks for that reality and reminder there. That's my buddy Matt Papa, an incredible praise and worship, incredible musician, Matt Papa, the Matt Papa Band, mattpapa.com. So you get to hear his music here every once in a while. Speaking of Matt Papa, let me tell you this. We just cemented this deal. Get your calendar out. Grab your little iPhone, your little Android, if it's not blowing up in your hands. And put the date down, Friday, October 27th. Friday, October 27th. We're booking it early this year because we got a lot of work to do on it. Called to Worship. At the Upper Room. We will be at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ with our good friend Bishop Pastor Wooden, my slightly older brother from another mother. So we're going to fold what you just heard, Matt Papa. We're going to fold his kind of rock and praise and worship stuff with a big black church praise and worship choir team. So it's going to be crazy, off the hook, black, white, worshiping together. The heavens, the creator of heavens and earth. That'll be awesome. So Friday, so we don't have to worry about everybody leaving early because it won't be a school night. Friday, October 27th. So we'll pray about and see who God's going to bring us in terms of people sharing short testimonies, but that'll be totally crazy. So October 27th. All right, let's go back. Obamacare Lite, which many conservatives are calling it, myself included. So Donald Trump this morning, our wonderful new healthcare bill is now out for review and negotiation later in the day. He said, don't worry, getting rid of state lines, which will promote competition, will be in phase two and three of healthcare rollout. So multiple phases, right? I'm working on a new system where there will be competition in the drug industry, our president said in a tweet. Pricing for the American people will come way down. Well, I'm not comfortable with the government, the leaders in our government. Phase one, phase two, phase three, That means they're maneuvering. They're taking the temperature. They're licking their fingers, sticking it up in the air, and seeing which way the wind blows as they drop one trial balloon after another. Because most of them, I think, quite frankly, are spineless. They've been talking about and got reelected and beefed up, took Congress over, took the presidency, and a big part of that platform was repeal and replace. Not tinker with, which I think is what they're doing, but repeal and replace. Conservatives balk at Obamacare replacement bill. This is from Fox News. The American Health Care Act is a plan to drive down costs, encourage competition, and give every American access to quality, affordable health insurance. Who said that? Was that Obama? No, that was House Speaker Paul Ryan. That was in his statement. On the Senate side, Kentucky's Rand Paul told Fox and Friends on Tuesday morning that the proposal is called to continue the original law's Medicaid expansion through 2020 before ending additional federal aid to participating states is untenable. While the House GOP bill would nix the so-called individual mandate to buy insurance, there's a backdoor on that, by the way, which we'll get to, Paul complained that the proposal would instead let insurers add a 30% premium surcharge for anyone whose insurance lapses. Paul said that's effectively a mandate, only the penalty is paid to insurance companies instead of the government. How convenient for them. This is in all likelihood unconstitutional, Rand Paul said. This is Obamacare light. It will not pass. Conservatives are not going to take it. Well, we'll see, won't we? Senator Mike Lee from Utah. I like this guy. Here's his statement. This is not the Obamacare repeal bill we've been waiting for. It's a missed opportunity and a step in the wrong direction. We promised the American people we would drain the swamp and end business as usual in Washington. This bill does not do that. We don't know how many people would use this new tax credit. We don't know how much it will cost. And we don't know if the bill will make health care more affordable for Americans. This reminds me of Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we can read it after we pass it, right? But at least they released it. It's out there publicly and people are combing through it with a fine tooth comb. That's good. So we're getting more and more information. So I'm going to keep my powder dry as we learn and educate ourselves, which I know is becoming un-American. This is exactly the type of backroom dealing, Senator Lee says, and rushed process that we criticize Democrats for. And it is not what we promised the American people. Let's fulfill our Obamacare repeal promise immediately and then take our time and do reform right. Let's pass the 2015 repeal bill that Republicans in both houses of Congress voted for and sent to the White House just 15 months ago. Once Obamacare has been properly sent to the dustbin of history, then we can begin a deliberate, open, and honest process to reform our nation's healthcare system. So you've got all that going on. And this is a pretty good detailed report. There's so much information flowing in. We are trying to get through this as quickly as possible. And this will unfold. Okay, this isn't all being done today. So let's all take a breath, myself included. It helps my voice if I actually breathe during call to action radio programs, which sometimes I forget to do that. But let's not go back into our apathy. We have to hold all of these people accountable from the president on down. Just like Edmund Burke used to say, all that is necessary for evil to win is for good men to do nothing. So we have to make sure we are minding our P's and Q's, right? Okay, so this is from Ben Shapiro over at the Daily Wire. He kind of has five of the biggest problems, according to his reading of the bill. It retains requirements that insurance cover people with pre-existing conditions. The key component, now this is a heartfelt issue, right? Pre-existing conditions. So listen to this. The key component to Obamacare was always the nonsensical notion that government could force insurance companies to cover those with pre-existing conditions. This turns insurance companies into piggy banks rather than insurance companies. Imagine a fire insurance company that allowed you to buy insurance after your house was on fire. The Republicans' attempt to preserve this popular provision of Obamacare means that Republicans, now listen, this is really important, must also do something to ensure that insurance companies don't go bankrupt. And there are only two ways to do that, with a mandate to buy insurance or with government subsidies. And let's not forget, we are broke. We are borrowing 40 cents of every dollar that we spend, right? $20 trillion in debt going up. This month, we'll definitely raise the debt ceiling like we talked about yesterday on Money Monday. And yet we want to keep throwing money away. Again, drunken soldiers have nothing. Drunken sailors have nothing on the U.S. federal government. Number two, it creates a backdoor mandate. The Republican plan gets rid of the overt Obamacare mandate, but it does allow insurance companies to charge an elevated 30% fine for those whose earned insurance lapses for more than 2 months at any point in the last 12 months. So we spank you, 30% increase, fine. If you don't have insurance, if you let it lapse, we spank you. And who gets the money? The insurance company. Well, I'm sure that's quite popular to them. Number three, it creates individual health care subsidies. What about people who are high risk or have pre-existing conditions but haven't bought insurance? We have to give them money to buy health insurance, which is what the bill does. It includes an advanceable, refundable tax credit based on age. This is effectively a subsidy, this is Ben Shapiro saying. Since the tax credits apply to people who don't pay much in taxes, just as the earned income tax credit, is actually a giveaway to people who don't pay taxes. And by the way, it would actually be the government sending people a check. And once again, I'll remind you that we're borrowing 40 cents of every dollar that they send out. Number four, it subsidizes Medicaid, which is a big deal. And number five, it subsidizes high-risk pools on the state level. This bill sends $100 billion to states over the next 10 years to help cover those who are high risk and can't afford insurance. Oh, sure, it'll stop at $100 billion, right? Because we always put the brakes on our spending. That's the way our government operates. Insert laughter here. So listen, this just go back. This all started the 16th Amendment, okay? The 16th Amendment, which gave the federal government the right to do a federal income tax. Then we hit the Great Depression. States can't take care of their own people, so they go crying to mama who now has a big fat purse. Based on the 16th Amendment, the federal government all of a sudden has a bunch of cash. We hit the Great Depression. The states come running to mama saying, help us, help us, help us. And mama says, OK, I'll help you. But, you know, you're going to have to do things a little more my way. And that's what we get, grants and grant blocks and aid and all that kind of information. And now the federal government begins to institute its own policies on a local level via federal dollars. And that's was the beginning, another big part in the death of federalism. So this thing, Obamacare Lite, definitely. So we're just going to have to keep paying attention to it. Okay, new immigration 2.0, WikiLeaks, Iran, North Korea, and Planned Parenthood. Isn't always on time. That's a good one, isn't it? I mean, that just go back into some of the 80s, and there's some pretty good music back there. Most of it in the 80s, which was kind of my decade, was mostly really bad. Just a little. A video killed the radio star that started in the beginning of the 1980s, 1970s. You had singer-songwriters, right? You could be really, really talented and ugly and not a good dancer and still be a music star. And then the video thing hit with MTV. And now you had to be somewhat good-looking, although they can change that. Maybe a decent singer, because they can change that. And then you got to be a good dancer, because we're going to video you. You got to be able to play it on the film, right? So then all of a sudden, you get the 80s, which was mostly bad music. But not that song. That was a great one. Love isn't always on time. Okay, let's see. There's so much to go through here. And we'll just keep looking at these stories as they unfold every day. Let's make sure we're asking questions. Let's do our due diligence. Let's not shoot first and ask questions second. Let's do this one. What's going on today? WikiLeaks released what it said is the full hacking capacity of the CIA in a stunning 8,000-plus page disclosure. The anti-secrecy website contends is the largest ever publication of confidential documents on the agency being the CIA. Now, I have mixed feelings about WikiLeaks because there are definitely some things that they should not be leaking. But a lot of things, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and even if you go back to Edward Snowden, there's a lot of information there that, you know, as the public, as the general public and the recipients of some of this activity, we need to know about. So I don't wholesale throw out every whistleblower out there. I think sometimes that's what's required in order to hold our government accountable, because we're to the point now, the government's so big, so massive, so bureaucratic, and there's so much secrecy that we're clueless, largely, in the general public. I trust the government as far as I can throw it, which is not a nano inch, right? You just can't trust it. Now, our founding fathers understood that because they understood human depravity, because they had strong Christian worldviews. Now, they weren't all a bunch of Jesus freaks, but they all were very strong respecters and believers almost entirely of the Bible and of God's wisdom found therein. And one of the things that they knew was that men and women will abuse power. They'll take advantage of each other. That's why we don't have a democracy, because the majority would take advantage of the minority. That's why we have a representative republic, which is very different. That's why we don't have a popular vote for president. That's why we have the Electoral College. Otherwise, you'd have L.A., New York, and perhaps Chicago would decide every president. Now, how would that go? What do you think that would look like? Not a great idea. So I think it's good, mostly good, that you get kind of some dumps like this, because that allows us in the media, whatever's left of it, to try to hold our government accountable. The 8,761 documents and files released as Vault 7, Part 1, entitled Year Zero, were obtained from an isolated high-security network at the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence in Langley, Virginia, a press release from the website said, this is WikiLeaks, the collection of purported intelligence documents includes information on CIA-developed malware bearing names such as Assassin and Medusa, intended to target iPhones, Android phones, smart TVs, and Microsoft Mac and Linux operating systems, among others. An entire unit in the CIA is devoted to inventing programs to hack data from Apple products, according to WikiLeaks, of which I've got at least two sitting right here in the studio with me. Isn't that nice? Some of the remote hacking programs can allegedly turn numerous electronic devices into recording and transmitting stations to spy on their targets. This sounds like a Batman movie I saw, with the information then sent back to secret CIA servers. One document appears to show the CIA was trying to infect vehicle control systems in cars and trucks for unspecified means. The site said, WikiLeaks, the CIA additionally failed to disclose security vulnerabilities and bugs to major U.S. software manufacturers, violating an Obama administration commitment made in January of 2014. Instead, the agency used the software vulnerabilities, which could also be exploited by rival agencies, nations, and groups, for its own ends, WikiLeaks said. As an example, now this was, who said this? This is somebody on Twitter. As an example, this is from WikiLeaks, specific CIA malware revealed in Year Zero is able to penetrate, infest, and control both the Android phone and iPhone software that runs or has run presidential Twitter accounts. So doesn't this add another level of intrigue and perhaps interest and perhaps concern to what Donald Trump, President Trump, alleged on Saturday that Obama had his phones wiretapped? So let's go to another leaker. Edward Snowden on Twitter said this, still working through the publication, but what WikiLeaks has here is genuinely a big deal. Looks authentic, wrote Snowden, who's still in asylum in Russia. So that, I mean, the information is going to come out about the CIA and their capability to spy on us, our own citizens. Now, to some extent, this is the old question that came out of 9/11. How much do you want to trade personal liberty and freedom and privacy for security? Because it's a scale that goes both ways. The more security you want, the less privacy you're going to have, because that's going to require the government to get into more information that's out there. And they are collecting everything, not just simple stuff like what we're talking about here on the radio, but what goes out over Facebook, what you do with Twitter, what you do with text messages, on the phone, all of it. And do you trust your government enough to sleep well at night knowing that? I sure hope not. So this one, which just dumped today, will continue to develop, and I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of bombshells in there. Speaking of bombshells, let's jump over to this. This is really alarming, and sadly, I don't think this is getting the kind of attention it should be getting. Iran launched two ballistic missiles, and then North Korea did four. Okay, so let's do the Iran one first. From Fox News, continuing a pattern of provocative actions, Iran this weekend test-fired a pair of ballistic missiles and sent fast-attack vessels close to a U.S. Navy ship in the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. officials confirmed to Fox News. One of Iran's ballistic missile tests were successful, destroying a floating barge approximately 155 miles away, two U.S. officials with knowledge of the launch told Fox News. The launches of the Fata 110 short-range ballistic missiles were the first tests of the missile in 2 years, one official said. It was not immediately clear if this was the first successful test at sea, raising concerns. Why? Because the U.S. Navy, which operates warships in the area, one of which had an unsafe and unprofessional interaction with Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps boats on Saturday. They got like 600 yards away. And the U.S. boat was there with two or three boats from the British Royal Navy, and they were all forced to change course, which is no small matter, especially given that it was Iran that caused the problem. So Iran, rattling sabers. And the thing that I appreciate about Donald Trump that he did in the election leading up to, both in the primary and in the general election, is he says, you ask questions about national security and what's the government thinking about doing when it comes to Iran and North Korea? We're not going to say anything. Why would we? Obama administration did that, right? Oh, we'll be pulling out of Mosul on this date, and we'll be drawing down troops on this date. And on this other date, we're going to be pulling people out of this particular area. So just wait, and then everything will be fine once we leave, right? So We're not going to know what's going on there. But the fact that Iran is feeling free to threaten this way and do this kind of activity is really alarming, because that is the number one terrorist state on the planet. And here they are playing these kinds of games. I mean, I hate to think of our soldiers, but we can do stuff with Iran and North Korea that's all airbound. We don't have to send guys and gals in there. But we better do something. Now, this North Korea one, this is just as bad. They're not as advanced as Iran, thank God. But this is just as bad. A North Korean military unit tasked with striking U.S. bases in Japan was involved in Monday's launch of four ballistic missiles, according to state media. The missiles, three of which landed within 200 miles of Japan's coastline in its exclusive economic zone, were fired as part of a drill by North Korea's Hwasong artillery units. The report said the units were part of the KPA strategic force tasked to strike the bases of the U.S. imperialist aggressor forces in Japan and contingency. And so here I found a map that shows from North Korea where these things were launched. If you look at their actual theoretical range, 1,300 kilometers, from North Korea's it's called a Nodong missile. Okay. So it's fired from North Korea, right? 1,300 miles. That hits Tokyo. That hits Shanghai. And that hits Beijing from North Korea. That's a serious deal in North Korea. Now, this is not abnormal when it comes to U.S. politics, and you get a new president, they test. Our enemies around the world will test and see what he's made of. We won't know until it happens. But one of the things that we were already doing is we're shipping these now controversial anti-missile systems to South Korea. That's going on right now. That was going on anyway before these missile tests. But very serious. And listen, for me as a Christian, this is, I think, an opportunity for us. When the world is crazy like this, and terrible things are happening and dark things are happening and people are depressed and there's economic stress and all the other things, you have the light of the gospel, right? Which is even brighter when the darkness gets worse in the world. But there's also this other thing I need to remind all of us about, and myself included, is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay? So when things are topsy-turvy, when we change one administration to another, changing control of the government from one party to the other, when we see things happening on the international level, we talk about ISIS, we talk about all these things, then as a Christian, I'm deeply concerned. Of course, I live in the here and the now. Deeply concerned. Heartbroken over things. But my house doesn't get completely rocked because it's not built on sand. It's built on the solid rock, my relationship with Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. And so there's another opportunity for us as Christians to say, you know, I'm worried, but I'm not, because I have hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Just was listening on Truth Radio Network. They were playing a little bit. I think it's a 30 or a 60 second bit from Ann Graham Lotz, of course, the daughter of Billy Graham. She happens to live here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area where I live. She's a friend of ours, and I will be in her office next Monday. I'll be at Angel Ministries. I'll be in her office to do the show. We'll do Facebook Live from Ann Graham's office. So she'll be sitting at her desk, and it's a beautiful little setup there, and we'll do the whole show together next Monday. And that will be all about, she's now the chairperson of the National Day of Prayer. She runs it. Shirley Dobson ran it for like 15 or 16 years, Dr. Dobson's wife. And then they asked Ann to take over last year. So Ann is now running the National Day of Prayer. So we'll talk about the National Day of Prayer, the history of the Day of Prayer in American politics, which goes back a while. The need for prayer, both for our nation, but also our individual prayer lives. I had Ann on a year ago. And she's so busy. It's so hard to get time with her because she's traveling all over the place. And since her husband, Danny, who is a friend of mine, I've been in his Friday morning Bible study for about 10 or 11 years now. Danny went to be with the Lord over a year ago. And since then, God's just, you know, amped up how he's using Ann. So she travels all over the place. But National Day of Prayer, corporate prayer, national prayer, and the role of prayer in your life and in mine. And certainly as we go through these big issues of the day here on Call to Action Radio and all over the place, it's obviously not just this show, but conservative talk radio media everywhere, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, online, radio, however you get your media. I mean, these are massive issues that involve massive amounts of people. This is very serious stuff. So let's remember that we are called to pray for those in authority, that we pray for the good of the nation. We can find that in the Old Testament. I'm not sure if that was in Ezekiel or Isaiah, talking about praying for the good of the nation, praying for the good of the kingdom in which you live. Because that's another way that we can love our neighbors well, is that we care about. That's where I got it wrong. When I didn't give a rip about politics and stuff, you know, I pay attention a little bit here and there, but I didn't really care in terms of political impact on my neighbors. I only thought about myself. Well, that's not loving my neighbors well. That's just idolatry of Steve Noble. So once I started realizing, oh, you know what? Everything the government does pretty much affects a good chunk of the people in America, if not all of them. And every one of them is my neighbor. So I should care about what the government is doing to my neighbor. And that's another reason why we pray, why we engage, why we get involved. Not to turn politics into idolatry. I think we've done that. In the culture war, thinking, oh, we'll save America. The only thing that's going to save... I don't think God's all that interested in saving America. I think he died and proved his point that he wants to save Americans. But as the nation, I mean, he lifts them up and puts them down. And the king, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, right? We know all of that. So we need to be deeply people of prayer. So we'll talk about that with Ann Graham Lotz on Monday, March 13th. Okay, let's do this one right quick. The new immigration plan, immigration ban 2.0. President Trump on Monday signed a second executive order severely restricting immigration from several predominantly Muslim countries. Isn't that how they always pose this? This is from 538.com. Predominantly Muslim countries. Well, guess what? Just about every terrorist in the last 30 years, take out a couple like Timothy LeVay or whatever his name was, the Oklahoma City bomber, take out a few. But 99% of terrorism in the last 30 years has been Muslims. And so what countries are you going to deal with? Well, of course it's going to be. Now, for some reason, Mr. Producer, I'm listening to some ACC basketball in my head. So make sure you get rid of that, because that would be my friends. I don't know if people on the radio are listening to that, but all of a sudden I'm listening to ACC basketball. So on Facebook Live, you guys are probably hearing ACC basketball too. I'm going to turn that part down. So sorry about that. So here's the new order. Okay, it's different in several significant ways. First, Iraq is no longer on the list of countries subjected to a 90-day travel ban, which makes no sense to me. The other six remain: Iran, Somalia, Sudan, Libya, Syria, and Yemen. Second, the ban no longer applies to people with valid U.S. visas. The order also makes clear that U.S. green card holders, current ones, are allowed to travel into the country, which was ambiguous in Trump's original order. Third, the new order no longer gives preference to refugees who are religious minorities in their home countries, a provision that in effect gave Christians an advantage. Because when you look at who was brought in through the refugee system, it was like 99% Muslim and about 1% Christian. Now, even in Syria, it's 10% Christian. And guess who? And I guarantee you more refugees are Christian than Muslim. Now, probably not a whole lot more. But if the country is at least 10%, I think it's pretty safe to assume that at least 10% of the refugees are Christians, but only 1% of them got in. So there was appeared to be preferential treatment for Muslims. And by the way, here's one of the challenges that nobody likes to talk about because this is not politically correct. There's no a moderate Muslim is an ignorant Muslim. And I say that not to be ugly. I say that meaning a moderate Muslim is not following Muhammad's lead. They're picking and choosing. They don't understand abrogation, which means the newer parts of the Quran supersede the older parts. The older parts earlier on in Muhammad's life as quote unquote the leader were more peaceful, and he got more radicalized as time went by. So the deeper you get into the quote-unquote revelation of the Quran, as well as the Hadith and the Surah, you find out that it gets more radical. And that's the way. It supersedes the older, more peaceful stuff. So a moderate Muslim is somebody that's not willing to follow the hardcore example of Muhammad himself. So we have to deal with the fact that's the reality of these bans. They're going to have to be Muslim rich countries because that's where the terrorists are coming from. And as Muslims, there's taqiya, which is they will lie to your face. A fundamental Muslim follower of Muhammad is called by the holy book, the Quran, to lie to your face to advance the cause of Allah. And it's a glorious honoring thing. And that's why the Iranian talks and then the quote unquote Iranian deal, they would negotiate on Friday and burn effigies and the flag of America on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, they can lie to your face, and the whole time they're like, Allah be praised, lying to your face, especially an enemy that's stronger than you. That's taqiyya. That's just scripture in the Quran. That's Muslim scripture. And so when people are coming into this country, how well can you actually vet a serious, fundamental, committed Muslim who really wants to follow Muhammad? And the only way they know they can get to paradise for sure is jihad and martyrdom. That's the only way. Martyrdom is the only way a Muslim can know for sure they're going to go to quote-unquote paradise, is to be a martyr for the cause of Allah. That's the only way. Other than that, they work and they work and they work and they hope that they find enough favor in Muhammad's eyes or in Allah's eyes to get into paradise. But the only way that they know for sure is to kill themselves, martyr themselves in the cause of jihad. So that's what's out there. So you have to check them more tightly. You have to. And is it easy to do that? Of course not. So listen, a third of the cases that they're following, there's about 300 cases that they're following, the FBI is following in the United States, over 300 of them directly deal with people that came in through the refugee and immigration program. 300 of them that they're following today. And the fact that we sit there and want to claim it's unconstitutional to vet these people or to stop immigration from these six countries now for 3 months is ridiculous. It's just this mindless ideology that started under Obama that we have to have some kind of protection over all things Islam. It's ridiculous and it's dangerous, but it's just the lies of the devil having his way with our idiots that run this government. Okay, God help him. Trump offers Planned Parenthood funds if it halts abortions. You're right. First of all, that's not his deal to offer. He could sign the bill if it gets through Congress, and I don't think it will, sad to say. But he can't offer that deal, but, you know, he does that stuff anyway, because ultimately he would have to sign it. So, of course, he did that. If you guys stop doing abortions, hey, we'll fund you. And Planned Parenthood came back, of course. Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Murderhood. Millions and millions of women, cervical cancer, breast cancer, are helped by Planned Parenthood. That's what he said in the debates. But she came out, of course, in saying that we will always stand for women's ability to make decisions about their health and lives without interference from politicians. This is what she said in a tweet recently. This is Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, who makes close to $1 million a year for killing babies. Planned Parenthood is proud to provide abortion, a necessary service that is as vital to our mission as birth control or cancer screenings. So you hear about the mammograms thing, right? And that's what Donald Trump was saying before. Well, you know, they provide some important services, mammograms and stuff. They don't provide any mammograms. You know what they do? They refer people, women that come to Planned Parenthood. Oh, you should probably get a mammogram. Here's some organizations in the area that give them. Planned Parenthood doesn't perform mammograms. All they do is refer them. And then they claim that they do them, right? That's the narrative, which is a joke. So let's go to this other part. If there is a bill to defund Planned Parenthood, these GOP senators will oppose it. This is, I can't see who wrote this. Redstate.com. Republicans are in control of Congress. A Republican or some sort is in the White House. In general, the GOP has absolutely no excuse over at least the next 2 years to get things accomplished. Many are hoping that defunding abortion giant Planned Parenthood is on this time-sensitive to-do list. Cecil Richards quickly rejected an offer from President Trump that would fund Planned Parenthood clinics as long as they stop performing the legal homicide of abortion. Of course, this rejection was hardly surprising. First trimester abortions in Planned Parenthood clinics can cost up to $1,500. This is not only big business, it's the main business they're engaged in. And in more than 320,000 abortions per year, they're doing well. The shredded remains of their tiny victims are not. So yes, we do hope that Planned Parenthood is defunded. Any organization which takes lives on a daily basis should not be given taxpayer funds. I do not care if this specific dollar is the dollar used to scrape or vacuum lives out of the wombs. It matters little. Their mission is murder, and nothing under the roof is the government's responsibility to fund. There are two spineless women in Senate who won't sign that, by the way. Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska and Senator Susan Collins from Maine. Let's pray that they repent and get their heads right. And they talk about, oh, we got to protect all these services that Planned Parenthood, abortion mill offers. Just remember this. If we closed every single Planned Parenthood clinic in America, that's about 700. You know how many other women's clinics are left to choose from? Over 13,000. Planned Parenthood needs to be completely defunded. Congress needs to lead it. Trump needs to sign it. And if they don't, they're just a bunch of duplicitous blowhards. We need to pray for these people. It's a very serious day.